Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
Hello once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews with you today on this kind of chilly day, at least where I'm coming to you from. And hopefully wherever you're at, it's going to be nice. You'll be able to get out, play a little bit of golf, or you've got it in your near future. Today's show, we're talking about kind of wrapping up the PGA season, which the PGA Tour is winding down, but it's very, very meaningful this time of year for some of those guys that are right around that 100 number. Remember, they changed it from 125 to 100 to secure your full exempt card for this year or for next year. And so just finishing off playing in Cabo for those of you that maybe watched over the weekend, and they have two more tournaments coming up that, again, are going to be those guys. Most of those guys are the ones that are fighting to keep their card going. You won't see a lot of the big-name players playing in these tournaments, but we'll talk a little bit about that. Some changes in the LIV Tour as well that are on the near horizon, and all that plays into whether it's a merger or not, but certainly into guys on the LIV Tour getting more world ranking points, and possibly we'll see them more often than just the occasional guys that we show up on either Ryder Cup or a major championship, so we'll get into that. And our good friend, special guest, Paul Stankowski, will be joining us here shortly as well, as he heads later today to the to Phoenix to play in the wrap-up, the final, the Charles Schwab Championship for the Champions Tour. And the top 36 qualified for that. Paul came in at number 31 to get in under the mark, and so he's good to go on that. And we'll see how he does. I mean, I don't think the odds are in his favor that he can't win the Schwab Challenge. That'll still go to one of the top three or four guys that have a dominant lead right now, Steve Elker and Ernie and those guys. But Paul's, you know, doing his best to do it again for next year and play. And he's had a pretty successful year again, finishing top 30, finishing 31. Not a bad year for Paul. So we'll talk to him in just a little bit as well. In the meantime, Frank Bassett in the, I'm assuming, possibly chilly Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
It was snowing this morning.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, there you go.
It's kind of like being in the desert. 75 degrees a few days ago, and now it's snowing.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah, cold. Golf clubs are frozen.
I'm in Dallas, and so it's chilly here, too. I'm supposed to play. I have to play in a charity event today. Of course I do, right?
What is that event?
Cystic Fibrosis.
Oh,
over at Las Colinas Country Club. Oh. And where Paul Stankowski and the guys formerly played in the Invited tournament. The Invited Pro-Am that was over there for the last few years. And
that's a fun club.
Year, but
fun club.
It's a good course.
Yeah, it's a great golf course.
So we're going to be chilly. And then tomorrow we're back up to 75. So it's just this cold front that if you watched any football yesterday, we're doing the show as you're listening to it. You could be listening to us anytime in the future, but we're coming to you on a Monday. So yesterday on a Sunday, you watch some of those games in Chicago and different places. There were snow flurries. I mean, it was cold. Wind chill, I think, at the game for the Bears.
They hurt my boy. They hurt my boy in Chicago. Jackson Dart.
Oh, yeah.
The former Ole Miss quarterback, now quarterback of the Giants, and then Russell Wilson comes in.
He's been great.
Oh, he's been really good. I mean, their season's terrible, but Dart's stats are great, but he got a concussion yesterday in the closing moments of the game, whatever.
Well, he's one of those guys, though, Frank.
I know. I know.
He puts it out there too much, right? I mean,
he's
telling himself that, you know, hey, they love it. It's almost one of those, don't, and then he scores a touchdown. You're like, there you go, way to go. But the next time when he gets knocked silly, they're like, just stop doing that. So it's one of those.
Every time he
quarterbacks that are out there.
Every time I see him hesitate, and you see that little move he has, I'm like, oh no, please, no, don't do this.
Yeah.
These boys are bigger, faster. You know, they're like the Lee Majors from the $6 million Man or whatever. They'll kill you.
He's a good runner though.
He does. He's gonna get hurt.
I can see why he wants to do it. I can see why they want him to do it because you're literally it's another weapon. But this is the downfall of it, right? Is you get your quarterbacks hurt, and then you're Russell Wilson, who has no more lives left. If he had 9 lives as a quarterback, he's used them all up.
Yes, he has.
There's nothing left in that tank.
No, really, he didn't look so good, did he?
No. And he hasn't for the last couple of years, to be honest with you. So, it's kind of they're going to have to find somebody else.
Do you think those boys get a little weary of getting hurt later in their career? They're like, I'm not going to take off.
Probably.
Right now.
Mm-hmm. And I also think, I don't even think, I'm pretty certain of this, that because I've been around a lot of NFL guys, that as you're coming into another contract, everybody talks about these contract years, Well, it's not only do you want to overperform if you can, because you're going to get more money, but you want to stay healthy, right? Because what you don't want is I played 4 years as a rookie, 5 years, my contract's up. I'm going to get my big payday coming up for next year. What I don't want is to tear my ACL or something else. And then the team goes, I don't know if we're going to sign you or not. So it's all that stuff comes in your mind. How can it not? If you're about to maybe sign a $70, $80, $150 million contract,
sure,
I'd be worried about getting up in the morning and brushing my teeth.
Don't they close the airspace over the stadiums usually?
I think so.
Except in Washington.
But I think they do.
You saw that, didn't you? When the flyover, I think it was, 10 feet off the ground as Air Force One came. It almost took down the Jumbotron. It was so low.
Well, and to that point, President Trump got booed when he got to the stadium. And I think that reflects, again, as we're coming to you, we hope, as everything we're reading, they're going to finally reopen the government and come to some kind of an agreement so that everybody can fly again.
Yeah, they booed him, and it's not their fault. Okay, I don't want to get into politics on the show too much, but come on.
But I hear here's my.
They should have sacrificed Chuck Schumer right on the 50-yard line, and that would have done it.
Here's my only political point of this is when it affects so many people, right? When they shut down the government, that affects how many government employees? Let's say 500,000, 300,000 people. I mean, it's a lot of people,
but it's
certainly a small percentage of. I don't know anybody who works for the government, and maybe you don't. So it's not a big percentage. So okay, it bothers you, but it's not. When it starts affecting everybody, whether it's prices, gas prices, or if it's I can't travel like millions of people do every day in this country because of this, now it gets to the heart of people, and that's where anger comes out. And they don't care if you're got an R in front of your name or a D, or if you're blue or you're red. It's like, fix this freaking problem because I got to get to Baltimore for a meeting. Or in my case, I'm going to my son's wedding.
Can you? That's right. That's right.
In 2 days. I'm flying to my son's wedding. Now, we've been kind of freaking out going
now. Now, where is that wedding? In Chicago?
St. Augustine.
Oh, that's right. St. Augustine. Yeah. Well, you just get in the car and come on. You can lay over here in Nashville at the house. And then
my biggest dread is to drive that far. I just can't do it.
Oh, I can't either. I used to drive to the Players' Championship every year because I just enjoyed the drive. Because I'd stay overnight. I'd go south and stay down at Valdosta, Georgia. Yeah. And play there at a wonderful country club. It's an invited club there. And then move on, going in the next day. So it made it a 6 hour drive, six-hour drive, basically. It's just nice, 4 hours.
But I don't have 22 hours in me.
No, God, no. Not at your advanced stage. No.
Where that guy'd stop in Birmingham or something. I mean, I don't want to do it.
How long have we been together? It's like we've been a couple for a number of years. Yeah.
Yeah.
The 7th was my birthday, and I didn't hear from Tim.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. December 7th is your birthday. I'm sorry, November 7th.
December 7th, a day that will live in infamy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That date was.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. 54. I'm 53
now. Isn't 54.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going the other way.
We're going backwards.
I have been for a lot of years.
Yeah. You hit a certain number, and you start going the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Robert Gamez. Sent me a private text, birthday wish. It was some of the other players. But, Gamez calls my phone.
November 7th.
Yeah, November 7th, 1907.
Start checking them off, right?
I'm telling you. It's scary. I'm even looking at the commercials on TV, thinking about ordering that wellness kit to keep in the house with the defibrillator and the.
Do it to myself.
I want to put one in each golf bag.
Clear. Hey, get a load of this, and I'll tell you this story in a quick 30 seconds.
Okay.
I went to my annual physical last week.
Yeah.
And we talked about this before.
Did you pick out China and Crystal after the event?
They're just not the same, right? The doctors used to poke and prod, which bothered you, but at least they touched you.
Yes.
Now they don't even come in the same room with you, right?
It's the nurse.
Look at you, they're on their laptop. They do their thing. They might take some questions, and they take blood, and they get all the tests, the results from the blood, and they never lay a hand on you, never look in your ears. Basically, maybe they go, say, and they look down your throat. That's it. So, okay, here we go through the same thing. Now we're going to go get blood. Okay, we go across in the office to the other part, and the lady's going to give. I'm not good at that, but I do it, right? Like we all do.
I don't like the needle in the arm.
I don't like it. I don't like it. So she does it. Well, next thing you know, and my veins are usually pretty good, right? I mean, I've got some decent veins, and so it's like they don't usually have a problem. Next thing you know, as I'm looking around, and I start reading signs on the walls.
My mind off. That's a kiss of death.
Yeah, I'm reading all these things, so I don't see what she's doing. I don't pay attention to what she's doing. Just do it. I feel the prick, and let's be done. And sure enough, I hear her going, like she's struggling a little bit after she's poked and redirect. And she's saying that like three to redirect and redirect. I'm like, what was this, GPS? She finally just goes, well, that's not working. And she pulls the needle out and throws it away and says, we're going to have to do it again. Okay, now we're already into it a minute or two. She pokes in again. And we're, next thing you know, Frank, guess where Tim is? Halfway on the floor.
Yeah?
Everything went black. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. I passed out.
Yep. Oh, no.
I was like, boom. And I come to, and I don't know that I've passed out before. I guess I probably blacked out and it didn't matter.
But just in your old drinking days?
Yeah. But I don't ever remember that. Because wow. When I came to, it was like, hello? Like, where am I? What's going on? It was so scary, bizarre when I came to. And then she's like, Mr. Matthews. Next thing you know, we got two other nurses in there and they're trying to check on. Long story short, it was like, okay, well, did you get some? Yeah, we got some. Okay, that's all we're going to do. And they sent me a little note saying, okay, well, we think you were dehydrated. I sent back a little note to them saying, I very much disagree. I think what should have taken 30 seconds was taking 3 minutes. I'm not good to begin with.
Oh, now you're pissing off the medical staff. Great.
Sure, I don't care.
Great.
And I'm like, so good. Put that in the book is next time you better have the best person, nurse, to come do that.
Well,
have somebody redirecting.
Yeah. I feel for you, brother. I know we've got to cut loose and get to Paul, but, I went through a similar situation, didn't pass out, but it was for the colonoscopy. You know, you have to do that, right. You know, yada, yada. That's always fun. Well, they wanted to put it in the top of my hand, the needle in the top of your hand to put you under. Right. Well, after four tries, I said, stop. I quit. Get me out of here. I don't want this. And I got up. I said, I'm leaving. I mean, really? Butt hanging, naked, everything. I'm out of here.
You weren't wearing much.
I'm out of here. I had a fit.
Really?
I hate that.
Man, did you go back?
They need to practice on the peach or the pear or the orange or whatever they practice on in nursing school.
It's got to be better. I mean, there's got to be a better
way
to do it. I even said that as I finally was getting better and they're giving me some water and some pretzels, they even brought EMS. I mean, they brought an ambulance. Because they didn't know, did the guy have a heart attack? What's going on? So the EMS guys, seriously, they came in and did the EKG thing, Frank.
Drama. Brother.
And they called my wife. I mean,
God, you're kidding.
Oh, no.
I bet it scared her to death.
I guess. I mean, it was.
And she immediately called your insurance agent and said, now, how much do we have on him?
And he put all these electrodes. So I knew I was feeling better. Because he was putting a couple of those stickies things all over my chest and everything for the EKG.
Oh, when they pull those off, that's fun too.
And he finally goes, one wouldn't stick because I was clammy, I was sweating and everything, right? It was bad. And it couldn't stick on. I kind of looked at him, I go, be honest about it. This is your first day, isn't it? You've never done this before. And he kind of looks at me, like smiles. He goes, I think you're feeling better, aren't you? Yeah, I'm feeling better now. The smart ass in me is coming out. So, yeah, I'm feeling better. Are you a rookie? Have you ever done this before?
You know, you and I together live, that's probably why the tour won't let us come to so many events anymore.
Because
we both get a little rowdy about things.
Smart call. So, anyway, that was a bad
day. Well, I'm glad you're okay, buddy.
Hopefully next year. Yeah. Anyway, they got enough blood. So, here's the other question. I'm like, okay, well, you didn't get the two vials that you want to get. So is the other one just in case you drop one?
And yeah.
If you don't need two, don't take two. I'll give you one, but don't keep poking me. So you got one. It's almost like next year I go in there. Frank, I go in there next year. I'll be wearing headphones, sunglasses. I'll be having laying down. I'm like anything, but I take my mind off it. I'm like, I'm not going through that again.
Oh, I can see it now. You're gonna look like Russell Wilson coming into the game. You know,
with you got one chance.
Headphones, the dark sunglasses on.
Yeah,
get you some of those Apple headphones. They're awesome. The big ones. They're great. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was my week.
Well, I'm sorry you went through such a bad time. I had a great time.
Yeah.
I spent 5.5 hours with AT&T on Saturday in my house redoing all the fiber.
But it's all good now.
It was football Saturday. So guess what I did? I had the 5G box sitting over there. I turned it back on, paid another, $70 to Verizon just to have that. That's an extra one I keep in case something goes down, which it didn't work either last week. I was over there on the iPad watching the game. Y'all have fun. Three people going all through this place.
Yeah.
Under the house and roof, everywhere. It was not the roof, but everywhere. Anyway.
Yeah.
That was my Saturday, and the Rebels did win big. They played the Citadel, which is a real powerhouse.
Good one. Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. Well, Vanderbilt, Vanderbilt game was exciting.
Vandy's good this year.
Oh, man. Pavia is one hell of a quarterback, and that's something for another day. We better get to Paul because he's got to catch a plane.
He does. Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a quick time out. Again, Paul Stankowski with the PGA Tour Champions on his way, heading towards the Charles Schwab Cup Championship in Phoenix, Arizona. We're going to catch him before he gets on the plane. So stick around. Frank and I and Paul will be back
right after this.
Have you or a loved one been injured in an accident with a commercial vehicle, like an 18-wheeler, delivery van, bus, or rideshare, and you weren't at fault? These cases aren't like regular car accidents. They involve corporations, insurance companies, and complex transportation laws. You need an experienced attorney who knows how to fight and win. That's where the team at 911 Law Call comes in. We connect you with top law firms that specialize in commercial vehicle accidents and have a proven track record of securing real compensation for victims just like you. The consultation is free. There are no fees unless we win. Call 888-688-5911 now. That's 888-688-5911. 888-688-5911. Justice for commercial vehicle victims starts here. 888-688-5911. No fees unless we win. Call 888-688-5911 now.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home, and you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home, as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-500-2021. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-500-2021. 800-500-2021. That's 800-500-2021.
Welcome back to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett.
Hello, hello.
As Frank was saying, a little chilly, in Nashville.
Cold.
I'm here in Dallas, and it is chilly here as well. And our guest, Paul Stankowski, also in Dallas, getting ready to head to the airport to head to the Charles Schwab Championship in Phoenix, Arizona, where I think it's going to be fine weather and decent enough, although it can certainly get chilly out there in the desert as well. But anyway, how you doing, Paul? Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, boys. I am doing great. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Is the weather going to be good? You're going to be okay this week?
Yeah, it looks like high 80s until through Friday, and then cold front comes through and a little bit of rain on Friday, I think, and then into the high 60s or something. But
oh boy,
you know what? 68, 69 degrees, sunshine, no wind in the desert.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
that's kind of your college golf too. I mean, give people a little reminder. Paul went to Texas El Paso, which is almost in Phoenix. If you look on the map, he's way west, but kind of a similar feel, right? Very dry, deserty kind of climate there too. And
Oh yeah. I love the desert. I love it.
Can get a little chilly, but also very warm. So so this is going to be good for you. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, Paul, but kind of give us some insight. So the Charles Schwab Cup Championship is the top 36 of all of you that kind of survived up until this point, 36, and you came in at 31. So you're in there and you're playing. And so what's at stake is, as I think the stats or the numbers show, that the Alkers and Sink, and they have enough points that one of those top five or six guys, Angel Jimenez, are going to win it probably. Is that correct? And so
yes,
like yourself,
yeah.
What are you playing for? What's at stake for Paul Stankowski?
You are correct. There's five guys that have a chance to win the Schwab Cup. And I'm not going to name them, but I think you just did. And the rest of us, you know, are playing to, you know, finish the year off on a high note. You know, so for I can only speak to myself, obviously, and all the pressure's off because my objective, my goal.
Uh-oh.
My dog's going to talk. Apparently my dogs want it. I don't know if you heard that or not, but that was really loud in my ear. Oh, you didn't hear? Yeah, these new AirPods are really good then, if you didn't hear that. My dogs were just going crazy. No.
It blocked it out. You went away, yeah.
So anyway, how good is that?
You were saying the pressure is off. And
don't you love live radio? Yeah, pressure's off.
And you're playing for $528,000, right?
I have no idea what we're playing for.
First place. $3 million.
Okay. You know, like, here's my point. All the pressure's off. You know, my goal to start the year was to finish top 36, to be fully exempt for 26. And, you know, mission accomplished. I'm so thankful. You know, I got to do this with my son too. Josh was on my back all year. Yeah. And so to achieve that goal, there were a few I didn't win this year yet. But that was basically it, you know, top 36 and to win. So I'm thankful. One, that I still get to do this, guys, as a 55, almost 56 year old man, getting to hit a ball around a golf course for a living. And when you do well, you get paid pretty decently too. It's a cool job. And I've as a little kid, I dreamt of doing this my whole life. And I'm still getting to do it. So, like I say, first and foremost, I'm grateful. Secondly, you know, here this week, we've had 2 weeks off. I took the first week off. I went and visited my parents my mom and my siblings last weekend. And this week I got a little work done, but I am not hitting it well. I'm not in form. So I'm leaving today and I'm going to go work with my teacher today. I haven't worked with him in a year. So I'm going to get some work done and see if we can cram for this final, right. Kind of like I did in college.
Wait till the last minute and do it. You mentioned earlier, we talked to you a few weeks ago, that a big change for you from past couple of years on the Champions Tour to now is the work you're doing with Troy Van Beesen and your physio and getting better physically fit and stretched out and everything else. Do you attribute that to most of, not that it was an easy year, but you did accomplish your goal and you got to pretty elite status of the top 36 to make it this far. Is that a big reason why you feel more physically fit, more ready to play golf, better to recover from one tournament to the next? Is that a big part of it?
Well, the answer to that is yes. I had last year, this time last year, I was a wreck. My body was a wreck. Literally, my hips and my low back hurt so bad just to get up out of a chair and walk. And I had an emotional conversation with my wife that I couldn't do this anymore. You know, I couldn't play. And I started looking 10 years down the line. I'm like, I have no idea. I'm wheelchair bound if I feel like that right now. And so she encouraged me to call Troy. And so I did and kind of just laid it out with him that, hey, you know, I don't have much time left in this thing. And so I need some help. And so he dialed me in with, I've been working with Corey, one of the Kairos there, ART specialists at Kairos Sport. Shannon is my trainer there at Kairos Sport. And so my team, those two people have done a great job with getting me kind of putting Humpty Dumpty back together again, if you will. And I've my hips and low back haven't felt this good in years. And so I'm stronger downstairs, if you will, in my legs and in my glutes. And they're finally underneath me again. Now I'm still the end of the year. I've put a lot of miles on. I walk out there. I'm not one of the guys that moseys around in a cart. So I put a lot of miles on my knees and my feet. And so I'm a little bit, you know, from that standpoint, sore. But I feel a lot stronger than I did last year. We did our reassessment, our functional movement screening and our TPI assessment. And every category I had gains over last year, which I'm super excited about. So we have a game plan. My off season workouts start on December 2nd. On my birthday and we're going to hit it hard in December and January to see if we can improve the couple areas that are still in red on the TPI assessment that that I knew were still issues. So anyway, I'm looking forward to it, man, and the the body feels good. I'm stronger. This last season, I really have to credit, on top of just the physical, I putted better this year. Not great, but I putted better and had improvements. And as you guys know, man, your scores go with your putting. And I felt like I made more putts this year than I have in the past. And ball striking was okay. I changed my golf swing last fall, changed my equipment setup. I was 3 degrees flat. I'm 6'1", and I was playing clubs so flat because I hated hitting a draw. And so, but I got so sick and tired of my divots being skinny and swinging hard left, and just, it was ugly. I was slapping at it. And so I just decided I'm going to change everything up and figure out how to not slap at it. And I still slap a little bit, but I'm actually was hitting draws this year. My clubs are now one degree upright. It's crazy. I went 4 degrees in my lie angle. So there was a lot of shots that I took on this year that were so different, visually. I'm used to, peeling a ball off of a bunker or off of the water at 18 at Pebble, and now I'm hitting the ball right to left. And so my lines have changed. I noticed, a few times this year when I got under the gun, some of the old swing came back and it doesn't work with my new setup. And so I hit some shots that were, that weren't great. But I'm encouraged because I worked through it and I'm looking forward to, like I say, from a physical standpoint this off season, and also from a swing standpoint to continue to dial things in. But, it's just cool, man. Yeah. So I'm excited about this week. It's a fun golf course. But more importantly, it's just a reward. I'm not going to win the Schwab Cup. If I win the tournament, I don't even think I can get one of the bonuses. I don't even know how many they pay out. So, but we'd still love to go out there and finish the year on a high note. Josh is fired up. He's ready to go.
Well, it sounds like it's been a great year for you and some redemption for where you've been. It's kind of funny too, because we talked to you for a long, long time, and I've known you for a long time, and you've always been, as you've said, you've always been a cutter, right? And you've always just hit that shot. So to me, it seems like the challenge would be, okay, now I'm learning to hit a different shot because of the reasons you said, and I want to hit some draws and right to left. But the real test is when you do it when it counts, right? Not like in a practice round when you probably can hit every shot in the book and go, no, but it's when, okay, now I'm on the 18th hole and I need a bird or whatever, and I got to hit a draw. Can you hit it then? Right. And so that's, I guess, kind of where you're at, is you got to get that confidence that you're going to still line up and hit the shot the way you think you need to hit it without going to your old habits.
Yeah. And the thing, it's funny, like I mentioned, my putting in my last good event was in Sioux Falls. St. Louis. I finished fourth this year, and the back nine on Sunday holes 14, 15, and 16, I ended up having shots that played 128 yards. Like, ironically, three holes in a row where I've got, one was a par four, one was a par five, one was a par four. All with different kind of winds, but they effectively were playing, in my math, 128, which is a 4/5 pitching wedge, right? And one was a right pin with a left-right wind, and my ball was below my feet. The next one was a perfect glide to a dead center pin. The next one was a left pin with the right to left wind, ball a little above my feet, right? And so three different lies, but the same number I was playing. The one with the pin on the right, you can't miss it right. The one with the pin on the left, you can't miss it left, right? So there's some of those variables that come into play. I hit all three of those shots 20 feet left of my intended target, which two of them ended up, one was 40 feet, one was 30 feet, and the other one was about 30 feet from the fringe, right? Mm-hmm. So terrible shots, okay? Terrible shots. Thankfully, they were terrible in the right place because they weren't on the wrong side. I didn't short side myself, right? But they were terrible pitching wedges, and I made two of the putts. I made a 40-footer and a 30-footer, and I two-putted the other one, made about a 7-foot comebacker. So that's the funny thing. You can, looking at the scorecard, like, oh, that's awesome, made two birdies and, down the stretch. It's like, yeah, I made two, and both putts broke 8 feet, right? They were, you're not going to rely on that. It was and I don't make very many putts over 15 feet. It's kind of like my kryptonite. But so that's the funny thing about this game of golf, right? You're sometimes you make putts and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you get good shots, sometimes you don't. You just got to play them all. You got to go and you add them up. So while I didn't feel like I had my best game going into St. Louis or even for the entire week, I wasn't like dialed in. I got it around. My misses were good. And I made some putts and I finished fourth, my best, you know, tied for my best tournament of the year. So it's a silly game, guys. It's, I'd love to have one of those weeks again this week. But I haven't hit a putt in 2 weeks. I take that back. I rolled out my putting trainer thing in my garage and putted for 5 minutes the other day. Because the greens here in Dallas, everything's being punched. You know, they're slow. We're putting on greens that are 13 on the step meter down in the playoff stretch. And here at home, you know, we just punched our greens. So I'm like, I'm not going to go putt on greens that are 9 that are bumpy. It's going to screw my brain up. Yeah. So anyway, I'm going out there not prepared. But I'm going to go, like I say, cram here today, tomorrow, and pro-am Wednesday. And I'm just going to ride my caddy. I got my extra whip in the bag. And come on, Josh, I need you.
Take me home.
Yeah.
We're talking with Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour champions, and he's heading to the Charles Schwab Cup Championship in Phoenix, Arizona. So regardless of what happens, I guess two things, there's no cut. So, and by the way, I should know this too, and I don't, I'm sorry. Is it is 4 rounds or 3 rounds this weekend?
4 rounds this week.
Four, yeah.
So you got four.
Yeah.
So you get a paycheck regardless, right? No matter where you finish, you're going to get paid. So that'll be great. And you're fully exempt. So that's something we talked about since you've been on the Champions. You've been wanting to get and needing to get some exemptions and also to checking the list of who's and whether you had to qualify or to get in tournaments or get a sponsor exemption, all those kinds of things. All of that's out the window now. So you completely can play every tournament regardless. Does it also mean that you can, because I don't think you took off many weeks because you needed to do everything you could to secure your spot. Does that mean your schedule will be a little bit easier or lighter in the upcoming year if you're fully exempt?
No. I got to play well. I mean, that's the thing about my category is I got to earn it every year. And so thankfully, this is the fourth straight year that I've either been fully exempt. I've done that. This is my second time. Or I was close enough. Like in 2022, I played all but two events. 23, they're all running together, but I played a lot of golf. And this past year, I didn't take a week off. I didn't get into Morocco and I didn't get into Hualalai and I didn't get into Newport Beach. So Hualalai is the Tournament of Champions and Hall of Famers. But then Morocco and Newport, I ended up being first alternate and didn't get in for the second time in 3 years. But my plan this year, my goal is again for 26 is to get fully exempt or close. Like I was 44th last year on the money list, and only missed two events. I'm thankful I get to play. I'd love to, you know, of the 20, we have 28 total tournaments from Hualalai through the Schwab Cup. I'd love it if I was good enough to just play 20, 22 times and keep my card, you know, but history has proven otherwise. And so, I'm going to play as much as I can and until I get to that spot where I know that I'm making it to the finals. And then I can maybe, you know, take my foot off the pedal a little bit, but I didn't have the pleasure of doing that this year. It turned out I could have taken the entire playoffs off and still gotten into Phoenix, but I didn't know that because you just never know with points being doubled. Last year, Mike Weir was 25th in the Schwab Cup heading into the playoffs, and in 2 weeks fell all the way to 37th and missed getting to Phoenix. So it all depends on who plays well. So, I'd love to be exempt or close heading into the 27 season. And then I have nothing on the horizon beyond that. I've been doing this a long time. I love competing. I still love the concept that, I'm a quote athlete, even though I'm 55. And I know, and we know I'm kidding because we're not really athletic, but the having getting to do this is cool, but at the same time, there's a lot of sacrifice being gone. This year with Josh on the road with me, my wife didn't travel as much. And so there's that time away as well. And even when she does come out, there's a lot that goes into that with, you know, finding dog sitters or taking the dogs to the kennel. And there's just so much, right? It's not easy. I wish every tournament was in Dallas and I wouldn't have to worry about the travel. But but all that being said, like I'm grateful. I'm looking forward to this week. You know, fast forward, I'm looking forward to 26. Tiger turns 50, and we're all hoping that he comes out there and plays some. It'd be fun to compete with the GOAT again. And so that would be really cool. And then, like I say, beyond 27, I don't know. We can't plan the future.
Don't plan to be Bernhard Langer? I mean, what's he now, 68?
No, sir. He is 67 or 8 years old. Yes, yeah. I do not plan to be Bernhard or Jay Haas. Jay Haas is 70. I think he's 72, maybe 73 now, and he shoots his age every week. No, I don't. I can be really cool, but at the same time, I'm gonna do other things as well. Yeah. And
you'll have grandkids.
So,
by then.
But you know what? Well, hopefully, but yeah. I'm looking forward to this week and we'll see what happens.
I am a little bit amazed. I mean, I want to touch on that one more time. I mean, I was making a little bit of fun of Bernhard. That's kind of amazing when you say, you know, hey, golfers, and that's been a dispute for a long time. Our race car drivers, athletes, you know, our golfers, athletes, Bernhard Langer, it has to be considered a phenomenal athlete to do what he does. Cause as good as you had a good year this year, Paul, he was still ahead of you at 68 years old. He finished 27th. We know that he's won. I mean, the cup year after year after year. How the heck does he do that? I mean, is he, and you're around him a little bit, and so, is he a different animal? Does he just eat like whey products? I mean, what am I thinking? Whey protein drinks
protein
and stuff. Is he just weird in what he does? Because how can you do that at 68 at that level?
Bernhard, he is one of the hardest workers and smartest workers I've ever seen. VJ might be the hardest worker, right? Tom Kite was a hard worker, always on the range grinding. You know, Bernhard is twice a day. He gets to the golf course probably 3 hours before his tee time. He goes into the physio trailer, changes into his workout gear, does his workout, then goes into the to get some PT. Then he goes and plays, and then he comes home, comes back from playing. He goes back into the PT and physio. And, you know, early in the week, I watch him hit balls, but he's not out there grinding all day. He goes to the short game area and spends a nice chunk of time there working on the simple things. He doesn't miss many greens. So when he misses a green, he barely misses it. So he's not practicing flop shots and crazy shots. He's practicing the simple little pitches. And that's why when you watch him play, man, he's holing bunker shots and he's chipping in and getting up and down. He doesn't make any bogeys. But one of the things that makes him, on paper really good is one, like you say, he doesn't make mistakes, but he hits the ball the right distance with his irons and his hybrids. You know, he's hitting a lot longer clubs into the greens now than he did in his 30s, 40s, and 50s and early 60s. But he still hits it the right distance, and everyone out there is chasing length. And I'm sure he'd love to be longer. But he hits the ball in play and he has complete control of the golf ball. And that's, you do that, you make some putts, which he does, your short game solid, which it is. You're not making bogeys. You make three or four birdies a day. You shoot 69, 68. And then occasionally you make seven birdies. You shoot 64. That's what he does. Right. And, that's what makes Bernhard special. All those top guys, they don't hurt themselves. But Bernhard at 68 years old, who hits it below average in distance, still contending, it's pretty special. And he's a grinder. He's got an amazing caddy too. And Terry Holt is, he is one of the hardest workers out there. There's a couple handful, maybe a handful of guys that work hard, but Terry is, you can see him out there on Monday and Tuesday before Bernhard gets going on the greens, spending, I don't know, he spends probably 5 hours, 6 hours on Monday just charting the greens, going back, rolling putts to where he thinks the holes are going to be located. And if you ever watch golf, watch Terry and Bernhard, he's always got a club in his hand. He's always hovering right around Bernhard. They go through all the putts. Bernhard relies heavily on Terry's expertise on the greens. And I think that's why he makes as many putts as he does, because they're 100% prepared.
Again, we're talking with Paul Stankowski, PGA Tour champions, getting ready for the big Charles Schwab Cup in Phoenix. Hey, Frank, you mentioned, Paul mentioned the guy, what's the name again? Tiger, that guy.
Oh, yeah.
What do you feel about that? Do you think, of course, he just had another surgery. Here we go, right? And I say just, but in the last 5 weeks, yeah. I guess, he had another, I think it was another back surgery. Do you expect to see him on the Champions Tour?
I'm not going to even answer that like I really want to, but yeah, you never count that man out, ever, never, ever. You just don't know. And I can't imagine if he's physically capable of doing it and his ego will allow him to get in a golf cart, he could be somebody to deal with. You know,
talked about the excitement about having a cart. So I don't think he's going to have an issue with jumping in a buggy. The rules are set up now on our tour to allow guys to walk and ride. The player and caddy can still not be in a cart at the same time, but the player has to drive the cart from his tee ball, right, to his ball in the fairway. And then after they hit the second shot, the caddy puts the bag on the cart and the player can walk to the green. So that's the new rules that are in place. You can drive it the whole day. You can drive it just off the tees, you can walk. And that's kind of, those are the three.
Why is that, Paul? I mean, that the caddy can't be in the cart with the player. What's the
I think behind that? So mainly, if just say you and Tim want to come out and watch a tournament, and all the players and caddies are in a cart, right?
Okay.
And we drive off the tee. We're to our ball in like 7 seconds, and you guys are walking trying to catch up. You're never going to catch up.
Right.
And that's kind of – so that's one of the reasons. And, that's the reality, is that spectators are they're walking. So if they want to follow a group and they're all riding in carts, man,
they can't do it.
Yeah. You can't even catch up to the ball. So
it's just the quality of the spectator experience. So that's what I've heard over
exactly.
And over. Yeah.
And I personally think that the only people that should ride are the caddies. Like, let them put the bag on the on the cart and get up there, get our number. So that way when we get there, because they're carrying 40 pounds around them, they're the ones that have to walk. It's crazy to me. But anyway, it is what it is. It's always up for debate. There's a lot of people that are frustrated that that players walk. Some because they take longer, and so the two riders are kind of waiting. Some people are frustrated. There's some caddies that have ADA, so guys that are, you know, a part of the Disability Act, and some people say, hey, isn't that part of the job description to carry the bag? You know, and so they're getting to ride up there and drive them, even when it's cart path only days, they're driving in the fairway. And yeah, it's just, I don't know. It is what it is. I don't care. I choose to walk because when I ride, I get hurt. It's not a pride thing, and as much as it's a, you know, I will literally get stiff when I ride a cart.
I've always played better if I walked. I've always played better because I'm walking up behind my ball. I'm visualizing the shot. I'm looking at the topography. But in a golf cart, you know, you're looking down at whatever's in the cart, or, you know, and you're hurrying, you get out and you're perpendicular to your shot and you don't take as much time as an amateur. Yeah, I should say.
I know, and I'm with you though. And it seems like the guys that ride, there's guys that ride that, you know, are winning tournaments. So, they're obviously. I've heard from a handful of players who ride that say, you know what, I think I have an advantage that I get to ride. So, you know, some guys are not in the greatest of shape, and it might be more taxing. Well, yeah, some guys are carrying more weight around than probably what is a doctor recommended.
Weight. Holy,
and so
to hold another person.
Yeah. And it makes it tough. And you know, but the thing is too, we are a bunch of olds, and you know, we had old knees and old hips and old ankles and old backs. And sometimes walking 6 or 7 miles is not ideal. So I mean, it is what it is. I just, like I say, I get stiff. And so I'm going to walk until, you know, until I can't walk. And that's probably one of the reasons why I don't want to be playing into my mid 60s, because I'm sure at that point I'll be riding a cart.
So to the Tiger point, certainly he'll be a draw, right? I would think. And people want to come out and watch and see. The ego thing is something that we've talked about, and maybe he's come to, like we all have. I mean, I think all of us are, to whatever degree, are a lot younger and cockier.
Tim, not to talk over you, but you made a great point there. We've come to grips with the fact that physically, I should say, we're not where we used to be. We've all had a hard time as amateurs saying, yeah, I really don't want to walk up to that next set of tees. That looks bad, you know.
Yeah.
No, I don't care. I will go all. I take advantage of every break I can get as an amateur because I need it. Yeah. Period. That's just it.
So. Yeah, I mean, your machoism kind of goes out the window, and I think Tiger maybe at 50, and certainly because of all his injuries, has come to realize that. Because I think the original Tiger, the goat from way back when, never envisioned Champions Tours, because he thought, I think, that he would be playing regular tour events till he's 60 years old, and probably could have had all the injuries that happened.
Except for the
he was at that
irps.
Level. He was physically fit. He was into the fitness and everything else. We certainly have seen even Phil, guys over 50, winning majors and playing well. So I think that was Tiger's vision. Why would I do that? I'll stay on the PGA Tour. Now, obviously, things have changed, and you know, he's hitting the ball different. He's doing what he can to save his legs and his knees and his Achilles and everything else by, you know, cutting the ball a lot more than he used to. So, yeah, which is a question I had for you, Paul. This is maybe for people that are listening too, more amateurs. You hitting going from a little bit more predominant left to right to hitting some draws, is it a strain on your body more? It seems like a cut is an easier, to Tiger's point, where he hits more tee shots now where he fades the ball. It seems like it's less stress on a lot of parts of his body. Would that be accurate? Is it a little bit tougher on your body to try to turn it over and hit a right to left shot?
You know, that might be an individual question. You know, I don't have a scientific answer for that. I don't feel like it is. I feel like I'm putting the same. In fact, I feel like I'm putting the same amount of effort I've always put into the ball. I'm not doing this to hit it farther because I don't hit it far. I'm below average as well. On paper, I think this year, I think I beat Bernhard by a yard. Jerry Kelly, I think, got me by a half a yard. I don't hit it very far. You would think that because I'm hitting a ball right to left that it would go farther now. But I don't know. I mean, and with Tiger, a lot of the guys who crushed the ball, DJ for one, you know, Dustin Johnson, he started hitting the fade just to get it in play. And here's the thing about Tiger too, that obviously his body has gone through the ringer with surgeries and those are hard, especially when you're dealing with your feet and your ankles. And like that's you think about it, that's where all the torque is going, you know, into your, you know, you're talking about ground forces. You use the ground, your feet have got to be on the ground at some point and pushing and holding. And so, it's got to be hard. But for him to compete on the PGA Tour, he's got to keep his ball speed up, right? So he's got to be still trying, in spite of the fusions and all that stuff. He's still got to, he needs to be in that 175 range, cruiser speed, right? To compete with some of these guys who hit the ball a long way. Well, our tour, these guys hit the ball a long way. Stuart Sink still moves it, man. Retief, Ernie, all the Australians from Chalmers, Cameron Percy, Steve Howe, all these guys move it. And they hit the ball a long way. They carry it, you know, 285, 295 in the air. And so, but there's like 10 of them. Tiger would fit right into those now. Now he'd be one of the elite length guys. He wouldn't have to continue to chase that, right? Because our tour is not necessarily, you look at Bernhard, look at, he doesn't, Jerry Kelly doesn't hit it far. And he's won a crap ton of tournaments on our tour. Steve Stricker is longer than he's above average, but he's not, you know, one of the elite in length, and he won a bunch of tournaments. So it's not about that. But so I think Tiger's going to fit right in. The guys out there, Stuart Sink wanted to keep playing the PGA Tour. He's like, nah, I just want to keep playing. And then all of a sudden he got a taste of the Champions Tour and he said, sayonara. And he's done great. And he's going to have a chance every year to win the Schwab Cup. And that's, he's one of those five guys this week. And Stuart hits it a long way and it's fun. But I think it's also just a lot of fun, this tour, even though it's super competitive. We are old. Everybody, you mentioned it, Frank, you come to terms with the fact that, okay, we're some of the guys haven't come to terms with this yet, but we're age group golfers now. We're over 50. We're not the best in the world. We're maybe the best over 50, some of us, and some of them are. But it's, you know, we are even more so now, one move away from going down, you know, with backs, and we wake up hurting ourselves. Like, what did I do last night? You know, why
put my socks
know,
on.
That's where we're at. You know, the older you get, the more Aleve and Tylenol you have to take and just to keep going. So, I think it'll be a lot of fun. Tiger's going to have a great time when he does come out. I'm not sure the PGA Tour wants him to play our tour.
That's going to change everything.
You know, I know you tell me, if Tiger plays the U.S. Senior Open next year at Scioto, and I don't care what PGA Tour event it's up against, what are you going to watch?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, you're going to tune in to see Tiger, and at least for a minute, but probably so, you know, and that's I'm not really sure, you know, the PGA Tour sponsors want Tiger to play. So I think it'll be, if he does play, it'll be sporadically. I know he signed a deal with Insperity, or I saw that, and Insperity is one of our tournaments down in Houston at the Woodlands. I'm like, well, Insperity is during the same week as a signature event, what do they call those now?
Signature.
Are they called signature events?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking to myself, is he going to play, or do they pay him to not play?
Right.
He's exempt to play in every signature event. And those things are worth, I think they're playing for $7 billion each week now or something like that.
Something like that.
Might even be a trillion.
$7.4 billion.
Might even be a trillion.
Something. They're playing for so much money. Why is he going to want to come play for peanuts on the senior tour? So, you know, the money thing is the big kicker. If you're eligible to play in a, you know, an $8 million or a $20 million tournament.
Right.
And you're going to go play in a $3 million or a $2 million. No, it's not going to happen very often.
So money should matter to him, but then again, maybe it matters to everybody. So he's no different, I guess.
It matters to everybody.
Yeah.
I know. You got to pay fuel.
Frank,
fuel
is expensive. Frank's these giving days. It away. Frank's
giving it all away. Yeah, I have. Yeah. I've given it away to when to I was single to women and the government. Yeah. No, it shouldn't, but it does. It plays a big part in that. Paul's right. So
there wouldn't be a live tour if money didn't matter.
Exactly.
Especially guaranteed money.
By the way, the Champions Tour, you know, although it certainly doesn't make the money to live or regular PGA Tour,
that's going to change.
Top, you look at those top guys there, they're making north of $3 million, north of $2 million.
Well, Paul didn't do so bad this year either, if you look at his numbers. So, come on.
Yeah, it's not a bad little 401k that you guys got going there. If you can, as you said, if you can get in the fraternity, Paul, while it's fun and competitive and all the things you like too, it's probably better than a lot of plan Bs that a lot of golfers have when they turn 50 that can't play in a Champions Tour. And they're like, okay, what am I going to do now? And be a pro somewhere or club pro or something like that. But, you know, these guys are, you know, again, making $2 and $3 million. I don't think they envisioned that necessarily when they were 40 years old thinking, well, I'll do it because it's some spare change. It's a little bit more than spare change, isn't it?
The opportunity's there. Yeah. And here, the funny thing is I quit playing. I took a step away from professional golf, if you will, August of 2013. And I couldn't tell you what the purse sizes might have been approaching $4 million on the PGA Tour at that time, maybe sneaking up closer to $5 million. But you know, most of my good golf, the purses were, you know, $1 to $2 to $3 million purses. Well, that's what we're playing for out here. So it's really like this year we finished, points are different because playoff. I think we made a little bit more than 700 this year in actual earnings. And you know, I did, that was what I did back in the like 2000, 2001, finishing 70th on the PGA Tour. So it's like the purses are the same size. So for me, these purses are amazing. And there again, yeah. You're right. We're old and they're still letting us do this. And there's, you know, in the grand scheme of things, if you have, you know, if you're one of these guys that, you know, has made $100 million or $80 million in their career, it may not make a significant difference in your life, but there, not everybody's been up there, right? I think I had $7.5 million in my career on the PGA Tour. That was over 20 years. That didn't amortize out very well, but especially with expenses and all that kind of stuff. So the numbers are not quite what it looks like, but you know, it's still, it's amazing. And, you know, would I love the purses to go up? Sure. Sure. Yes, please. Why not? I mean, it's good, but I'm not going to complain about what, you know, going out this week and competing, you know, for a chunk of cash that they're giving away. It's like, you know, the better, when you play well, you get paid well. And, it's a nice, what's that word that they kept throwing around? I forget what that means when you go out there and you got to work for it and you get paid. Anyway, it's I need to call Brandel. Brandel, I need a lifeline. Yeah.
What do you word. About? Like the guy from the Bible, it. Job or Job? What is that? It's a job.
His name is Job.
I know Job. Job.
Yeah. No. I'm anyway. It's cool. Paul, we are playing for a lot of money.
Yeah. It's going to, in my opinion, you're going to Tiger hits the PGA Tour champions. The sponsorships are going to go up. Attendance will go through the roof for the tournaments.
You know what though? Attendance will, but our TV deals are locked in for a while. So I don't see our purses going up any. A lot of our events are locked in. So we're not going to see a huge influx right away. And I can't imagine Tiger's longevity of playing is going to on the PGA Tour champions going to be even when he does play. So I don't imagine maybe a U.S. Open purse might go up or whatever, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not behind those closed doors, but I don't see our purses going up quickly like they did back in when the, you know, perfect timing when Tiger turned pro and Fincham was able to skyrocket those
TV deals.
TV deals went up. Our purses went and just started going through the roof.
In those agreements,
I don't see that happening.
In those agreements, there, you know, I've seen those documents before, some of them, and there are all sorts of clauses in there that speak to certain changes that may or may not occur in the game and in the money. And attorneys can make magic happen. Trust me.
I
would love to see it. We've said this forever. PGA Tour champions, you guys are more accessible, more approachable, more friendly. You take more time, and it's a better spectator experience, in my opinion. And Tim and I both agree on that. It really is.
Yeah, you're right. And the product is better in that term. It's better for sponsors. Yeah. We actually show up to pairings parties, you know, the pro-am pairing party. Yeah. We're to a man, we're great with the guys we play with, the guys and girls, the people who are paying money to play in these pro-ams on Wednesdays and Thursdays. And it's a great experience. You know, the PGA Tour has undergone a change, obviously, with you know, now having a CEO and all that kind of stuff, and there's venture capital money there's a lot going in, but we, as you know, we're still ambassadors, if you will, for the PGA Tour, because that's part of our we're going to small markets that the tournament, the PGA Tour is not going to go to. They're not going to find the PGA Tour in Des Moines, Iowa, or Sioux Falls, South Dakota. You know, so we're going to these smaller markets and exposing PGA Tour golf to these fans. And you know what? You bring in the Ernie Els and the Vijay Singhs and the legends of the game, Boom Boom, when he comes out, and they love it. And there's a lot of nostalgia watching a PGA Tour Champions event, because they're not 10 deep. You know, you come out and watch, and the lead group might have 1,000 people watching, Well, that's you can get a lot of people on a golf hole. There were 1,000 people around the tee box when Tiger was playing. and you couldn't see much. So we are accessible. It's a pretty cool product, and I'm thankful to be a fly on the wall here during this time.
And spectators can go and watch and see Thomas Bjorn and say, "Hey, that looks like me." So he's very relatable.
Thomas is probably going to call you, Tim.
I'll tell you what, that dude can flat out play, and he's one of the guys that bomb it. He's a good dude.
It is strange. I've never seen. I mean, you'd have to go. I don't even know if there's a pitcher, because some of those pitchers can get pretty big too. Sometimes Major League Baseball, and you're like, how is that guy a professional athlete? That's one of the biggest guys who make a living as an athlete that I've ever seen. That's all I'm saying. I mean, it does kind of stand out when you watch Thomas Bjorn. You're like, good Lord, he's big. And
think about this. You make a good point, but Bartolo Colon was round and he was able to throw a baseball, and he could cover first base, and he could bounce off the mound to get it. He played for a long time.
Yeah, played a long time.
we're always amazed every Sunday when you look at these 350-pound linemen, running to block and they're agile, and you're like, okay. So the big part of it, think about it. We're swinging a club. Now we are athletic. I mean, we're athletic in the sense we're making a move. It's not a physically taxing game in the sense of, having to sprint down the field and whatnot, but getting hit by people. But everybody, I mean, is the kicker any less athletic than the wide receiver? Some of these wide receivers are amazing that they're able to dance, catch a ball in the air, reach both of their feet, toes down. That's hard. I'd pull a groin just thinking about it, And these guys are amazing at what they do. And then they go to try to hit a golf ball, and they swing they have no athleticism whatsoever. LeBron hit a golf ball. It's like, okay. He's an athlete, but.
With no coordination.
Remember Carl Lewis threw the base?
He threw it behind him. One of the greatest athletes in history. Apparently has never thrown a baseball in his life. I'm like, how does that possible when you throw those opening pitches? You see some of those guys come out there that are phenomenal athletes in their given sport and literally can't get the ball halfway to the catcher. And you're like, oh my God, how's that guy even an athlete? Yeah. But you're right. I mean, there's different strokes for different folks, right? I mean, what you guys can do, a lot of people can't do, and vice versa. So, well, Paul, we're going to let you go, because I know you got to probably finish packing and do all the things you got to do to get to the airport. Hopefully your flight will be on time and you'll get there, and I'm confident you will. We'll be watching.
They moved my gate 4 times since we've been talking.
Oh no! Yeah.
But thankfully, it's still going at 12:30, so that's good.
Best of luck. Play well.
Yeah, and safe travels, buddy. Safe travels.
Play well. Some putts. Thank you, guys.
And we'll talk to you when you're done with this. Talk to you.
We'll be watching.
Okay. Yeah.
Sounds good. Appreciate you guys.
Take care. Appreciate you, buddy.
Take care, Paul. Yeah. Take care, man. Paul Stankowski heading to Phoenix for the Charles Schwab Cup Championship.
He's such a good guy.
And good for him. Oh, yeah, yeah.
He really is.
And he gets
nice
it, too. I think there's a centeredness, if I could be a little bit, feng shui here about this. There's a centeredness about Paul that not too high, not too low, takes it all on, not a big stress guy. And here he is, kind of living the dream, 55 years old, still playing golf for a living and doing well at it. So good for him that he made the top 36. He's exempt for next year, which takes a lot of
pressure off.
Stress that Paul doesn't normally have anyway. Takes a lot of that stress away.
I wish I could be that way. You and I are exactly like. We're like, boom. We go on.
Get a little wound up.
Get a little wound up, especially with nurses with needles.
But it also, it should. I try to diminish it as you get older, right? When you're younger, you get, and then you realize as you're older, hopefully what comes with that is wisdom, right, Frank? And you go, don't stress it, because I can look back on almost the same situation 10 years ago, and guess what? It worked out. It was okay. So that's what I try. And I think, Paul's been great at that to get out. Remember way back when, and even when he and I were doing a show, PGA Tour radio show.
Yeah.
He was selling leathers. He had a leather company, leather belts.
I remember that.
And holders for your
Francis. What was the name of that company? Francis something.
Yeah, Fran. He had two first names, and I think it was his grandfather and something else.
Yeah, he in that story he told
Francis
on
James. Francis James.
Yeah, on like my show, on the show. You know, we all did shows together. You did the game. Yeah. I did Golf Talk America, and Doug Bell did something whatever.
Yeah. Mark Immelman had a show.
We all had shows in those
days.
On the tours platform. And we all, you know, we were butted up against each other. We were the morning show, 8 to 10, every 5 days a week, which was a lot of content to put together. I'll tell you. It wore me out. But
Paul talked about his business.
He talked about the business, but I said, how did the name come about? You remember this, because it was a setup on me. And he told this story about my great-grandfather coming over from Italy, and it went on and on and on, like for 12 minutes.
Yeah,
you know, and just had us hooked on this thing. You remember that? We need to get him to tell that story on the air sometime.
Yes, if he recalls it,
hilarious. Like, oh my God,
like the biggest boondoggle ever told. And so yeah, but that's why I've said in many times, the Champions Tour should be 45, right? So it shouldn't be 50, it should be 45, because there's a lot of guys that
no man's land right there, 45 to 50.
Matt Kuchers and whatever that are going to be great at 45 and still play competitively, but, you know, struggle.
He was struggling on the tour this past week.
Yes, but they're going to, because once you get to, and of course,
7,400 yards.
But once you get to, like in Paul's case, he was pretty much done playing, physically was beat up and everything, at about 43. Well, so now he's going, okay, what do I do for 7 years if I want to play Champions Tour?
Yeah.
I can't just sit on my couch. So that's where he came up with the leathers and all. So you got to do something else. At 45, it's a kind of an easier transition. And it also, now I know it may not be favorable for burnout longer because now you're playing with even younger guys, but he's the exception anyway. A lot of these guys are not playing until they're 68 years old.
Yeah.
They look forward, I think, to say, you know, if I can play Champions Tour for another 10 years and go from 45 to 55, maybe push 60, cool. And then I'm done. And then I can do whatever I want to do. I just think that they'd be better that way, because you're asking some of these guys that are trying to hang on, Ryan Palmer's trying to hang on because they got to make it to 50 and then hope that they can do something on a Champions Tour. And it's really hard. It's really hard for those guys, because you look back, Frank, I mean, it's getting younger all the time. It's not only younger on the Champions, but look how good these college guys are. And the ones that come out, Ben Griffin's, and the guys that come out of almost nowhere, they're like, that guy was in college last year and he just won a PGA Tour event. What the hell? I mean, they're that good, that young.
Yeah, they are.
So, yeah, that's
This is for another show, because we've gone long, I know, but we need to think about Live Golf now going to 4 rounds instead of 3.
Correct.
Starting in 26. And I'll go back to the thing we did discuss, and we'll take it a little deeper with another guest, but the Tiger Woods on the PGA Tour champions, that's going to make a difference. I mean, I know the media contracts are locked in, but their clauses in there that allow for a lot of stuff. Trust.
Well, they had to anticipate.
Yes, that's exactly
Tiger
what they did
5 years ago.
And with the sponsors, like they're saying, okay, if Tiger comes, if this, it's just like in NFL, NFL, NBA, whatever contracts.
Yeah.
Same thing. You know, if this happens, you know, then, you know, you're giving us $10 million. Well, we're going to have 11 or 12 or 13 now.
Yeah.
Because because they have the algorithm that says it brings this many more eyes and ears to what your product is.
They will monetize, because here's the other thing too, Frank, is they'll say, I'm saying the PGA Tour, if you're not in agreement that Tiger's going to bump things up or do better for us, okay, you got us maybe our feet to the fire for the next 3 years of this contract, whatever it is, but maybe CBS, maybe we'll talk to NBC and see what, you know, they don't want that. They're like, hang on now. So they want to stay friendly. And if it means we got to kick in a little bit more, because we are going to get a higher audience, in all honesty, it's a hard argument to make. We may have the contract, but yes, are we going to get more eyeballs and therefore we're paying for more? Okay, that's not a bad deal for everybody, the players, for the PGA Tour, for the sponsors, because they're going to say, we get Tiger watching our Mercedes commercial now. That's worth more money to us. So, yeah, I think they'll figure out something. I mean,
sure they will. Just,
he's moved every needle since he was, you know, 12 years old. So
absolutely has.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun to see. He turns very last day of the year, right? His birthday's the 31st of December, I believe.
Yes, yes. So, same as my daughter's,
So he'll be ready to go. I don't physically be ready to go, but age-wise,
one of my daughters.
He'll hit the number. So,
yeah.
By the way, I told you I played a few weeks ago with Hank Keeney.
Yes.
Be confused with Hank Haney, but Hank Keeney,
Hank Keeney,
PGA player and U.S. amateur champ from SMU.
That's right.
And he just turned 50. So he's already 50 as of about a month ago. And when we played, I'm telling you, Frank,
crushes it.
Talk about distance. He would easily, I think, be the longest driver on the Champions Tour at 50, because he still smokes it well over 300 yards.
Yeah.
Steve Johnson and I were playing. We'd go up to whatever tees we went to, right? He was at the plates. He's the tips for everything. Sure. We'd go up and hit. And there were a lot of them that I think we were 60, 70 yards right in front of him. Like he was just a small little dot back there hitting. And we'd get up to our balls and he would still be 20 yards past.
Yeah. Isn't that frustrating?
Yeah.
Hey, I know you have to go play in the cystic fibrosis tournament. But there's another event coming up, I think, on the 17th of this month with Spieth. Are you going to be in that? At that, I'm sure, invited?
17th? No.
Do you know about it?
Nope.
Will you be in town?
No. Yeah, I'll be in 17th of this month.
Yeah.
Well, that's just,
2 weeks.
17th, 16th is a Monday.
Well, 10, 9 days. No, a week. It's next week.
It's a Tuesday. It's a Tuesday, I think. I don't know, because I'm actually having to go down and rate a golf course in San Antonio at the Quarry on the 16th.
The Quarry. I played the Quarry down there.
Have you?
They have signs that say, do not, go into these rocks, rattlesnakes. Yeah. I'm serious. No, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's a lovely golf course. I loved it. Had a blast. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't know if you knew about that Spieth event or not. I just found out about it, and I said, well, maybe I'll go over there for that.
I'll still be in San Antonio on the 17th because we're staying there. They got something that night, too, and I'm not driving back till the 17th.
Oh, okay.
So is that something that he's doing, like, for invited clubs? Like, is it Brookhaven? His original club?
No.
Is he kind of just there speaking, or is he actually playing?
No, he's playing. There's an event, and I need to get some more details on it. I have an email from him.
Okay.
I'll look at it.
He does do something with Brookhaven, which is his old course
club
that he grew up on. And so he does something, I think, annually there, but more kind of a junior, event thing.
Well, this is something coming up. I don't know. But anyway, we'll figure it out. I don't think our listeners want to hear us talk about what are we going to do next week.
I do want to mention this, by the way, Frank, that Invited Clubs were founded in 1957, here in Dallas, ironically enough,
as
Club Corp. And they changed their name to Invited a few years back. And they're the leading owner-operator of private country clubs and golf clubs and stadium clubs in North America. They have more than 325,000 members spread all over the place, approximately 17,000 peak season employees, and they own or operate more than 150 country clubs, city clubs, and sports clubs in 26 states around the country. So if you're interested, you want to know more, invitedclubs.com
Absolutely.
Is the place to go to, and you can find a course just like Frank did in the Nashville area, I have in the Dallas area, and you can too, wherever you might live. Again, check them out at invitedclubs.com.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And speaking of PXG... speaking of Invited, I received an email over the weekend from Invited saying I haven't been paying for my bag storage for the past 2 years.
Wow.
They haven't billed me for it. Well, I have
your bag out on the curb?
I don't leave my bag at the club. I haven't left my bag at the club in like 3 years.
Yeah.
So they have a locker, not the locker in my locker room. I have that.
Right, locker.
The bag locker, I don't leave my clubs out there because I just bring them home.
So you owe them like $10 a month for the last 2 years or something?
No, they're not going to back do it. They said just we'll start billing you effective next month. And I guess they did an audit or something.
Huh,
and sure. But that thing's been empty. I guess they've been holding it open for me all this time. I'll tell them, I haven't stored clubs there in 3 years, guys.
Yeah, I don't either because I go somewhere else.
I don't want
to get my clubs to go play in
And when course. I started playing my PXGs, honestly, there are not that many people that have those clubs. And I just didn't want them to come home with me. I just wanted them here.
I don't blame you. PXGs. Sweet.
Because I go hit balls at another country club right down the road here some too. So, I just wanted them with me. But anyway, I thought that was really funny. But, Frank, you have a golf club locker here that you've not been paying for. Oops.
And how are your PXGs?
I wish they would forget about the barbells. The PXGs are great. I mean, there's some stuff we'll talk about in the future about PXG, but not right now. But they've got a big deal. They've got a great deal going on the Gen 7s right now.
Nice.
So if you're looking for a great set of golf clubs, check it out, PXG.com, and go see them.
Yeah.
Go see and go get fitted because they've got some great deals going on right now. And they've got a new line of apparel out, too, that's really good looking. So
go
I want to get
fitted.
I want to get to Scottsdale and see them again if they'll let me come back out.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. Be nice.
I think they will. Yeah. They're a great company, PXG.com. Go check them out. Anyway.
Is that their slogan, Frank, what you just said there?
No.
Go get you fitted?
Go get you fitted. Did I say that?
Oh, God. He said, go get you fitted.
Go get yourself fitted there. Okay. Yeehaw. Welcome to the South.
Ole Miss coming out again.
No, Ole Miss is much more proper. Ole Miss talks like this. You know, we're down in the deep South. Good. Ole Miss, by the way, is number six in the nation. Thank you very much.
They're good. They're good.
They're good.
I like watching them.
But I tell you who's good. The quarterback at Vanderbilt, Papia. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
But next year, I just Vanderbilt's going to hit the skids on that one, because when he's gone, he is, I mean, that guy makes it. Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
All right, we'll talk football next time. But in the meantime, we are done. And, I got to get out to an invited club, a Club Corp, a former Club Corp golf course at the Las Colinas Country Club that will be playing at here in a charity event coming up in about 2 hours.
There you go. Hit them good.
There you go.
All right.
All invited. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Paul Stankowski for joining us, and for Frank Bassett. I'm Tim Matthews. We appreciate each and every one of you. And please remember to join us next time right here for Golf Talk America.